We worship. We come together every Sunday morning and we worship. Who is it that we are worshiping? Who is it that we are actually singing about? Who is it that we're worshiping and loving and all of that? And so we've been working through a series in the summer where Jesus says, "I am," and you finish the sentence. And so I want to finish the three words that he talks about in John chapter 14, which I'm really enjoying this series. This has really opened up my eyes to a lot more about who Jesus is. In John chapter 14, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." Now, let's pause there. What happened just before he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled"? Remember? He had just called out Peter. He had just told one of his closer friends in the disciples, had just told him, "You're actually going to deny me three times." He just called him out. And he just talked to his disciples, and they're all talking about how he's going to die. And so their emotions are all over the place. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust me. Trust me, he says. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If there were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you. So that you will, all of you disciples, you will be with me where I am. And you know where I'm going. Thomas says, "I don't know. We don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going. How can we know the way? How do we know how to get where you're going?" And then he says the famous words that we know. Been in church, been a Christian long enough, you'll know. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Those words can just roll off our tongues, but what does it really mean? What does it really mean? So this morning we're going to talk about life. I am the life. In the context, it appears that life is eternal life, going to the place that Jesus is preparing. That's what he's talking about in John chapter 14. He's talking about heaven, the place that he is preparing. But I want us to understand this morning that living the Christian life is way more than just about going to heaven. That's what it is. A lot of people, when we're talking with people, non-Christians, who are, "Well, you want to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven. You want to be with Jesus." When we do funerals, we talk about, "Well, you want to go to heaven so you can be with your loved one." Well, no, that's not necessarily the point. That's a benefit. But the point is, there's more to life. Living the Christian life is way more than just going to heaven. Think of this. Jesus did not die to just make sure we get to heaven. Jesus did not die just to make sure we get to heaven. Because then at that moment, if that was true, at the moment we believe and accept his salvation, he would snatch us away to heaven. That's what he would do. If the whole point was for us to go to heaven, he would have taken us right away. Good. Okay, he said the sinner's prayer, she said the sinner's prayer. Good, let's take him home so he doesn't get messed up in earth. No, it doesn't work that way. We have life to live with Jesus on earth. We're getting ready for heaven. He's working on a few things on us, and we're going to talk about that. John chapter 1, verse 4. Talks about the Word. The Word, Jesus, gave life to everything he created. So at the beginning, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, the Word, Jesus, created everything. He gave life to everything. at creation. And his life has brought light to everyone. So not only life, but light. Now, if we go to John chapter 5, and I want to camp here for a little bit. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus is writing, he's saying, or he's speaking, and John writes it. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God, who has sent me, have eternal life. Now think about that. Look at these words. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. I have an aversion to a theology that's out there. It's popular, but I have an aversion to a theology that says, once saved, always saved. Part of that is about this verse. Just because you say a sinner's prayer, just because you prayed once in your life, does not necessarily mean that you will be in heaven. I don't believe the scriptures teach it at all. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Some of the versions say, verily, verily, or truly, truly. He's trying to emphasize, those who listen to my message, they listen, not just hear it, go, I heard it. They listen, you and I, as we listen to what Jesus teaches, and believe in God. You and I know lots of people, and I've had lots of conversations with people who are not living a Christian life, but they would say, I believe in God. Well, I believe in peanut butter too. I believe in a Big Mac. I believe all kinds of things. I don't believe in aliens, but some do. There's lots of things I believe in, but do I do anything about it? Those who listen to my message and believe in God. I think I may have shared this illustration. It's one thing to see a tightrope walker across a canyon. You've seen that on TV. You've seen it where they can walk across. They got this big pole and they're walking across. You go, wow, that's amazing. I believe that that person can walk across that canyon. And then all of a sudden you see him go to one end and then he pulls out a wheelbarrow. And he pushes the wheelbarrow across that tightrope to the other side. Wow, that's amazing! If I really believed, if you really believed, would you get in that wheelbarrow and go across the tightrope? No way! But I believe he can do it! Do we believe? Do we believe in God? I said this at the funeral the other Sunday that I had done. I said, I've read this statement. We'll actually be surprised when we get to heaven. Who will be there? Because we're going, I didn't know you followed God. Well, yeah, I just accepted him just before I died, or whatever happened, and they made it to heaven. But the statement goes on to say, we'll actually be surprised as to who is not there. We'll actually actually be surprised as to who is not there. Because we thought they believed in God. But when it came down to it, they didn't. They didn't listen to his message and believe in God. Because if you listen carefully, which means obeying as well, and you believe, which means trusting, it says you will have eternal life. You will have it. Now, interesting word, have. Have is the present tense. If you are a Christian here this morning, and you believe in Jesus and you listen to his message, you actually have eternal life. You and I have eternal life. We have it. It's not something, it is something down the road when we get there, but right now we have eternal life. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. You have my life in you, that eternal life. You have that life. What does it mean that it says they will never be condemned for their sins, but they will have already passed from death into life? Great songs this morning that talk about the grace and talk about, even though our sins are more, his grace, or our sins are many, but his grace is more. We pass from death to life. We've passed from death to life. Let me illustrate it a little bit. Before, in that passage, and it's not on the PowerPoint, but in that passage in chapter 5, Jesus heals a lame man at the pool of Bethesda. And he goes, there's crowds, verse 3, if you're following, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches and on the side. And one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him and knew he'd been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? What a crazy question. Would you like to get well? I can't, because I can't get in there. That's all another story. And Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. Stand up, pick up your mat and walk. And instantly the man was healed. Now, if there was ever an illustration of moving from death to life, that would be him. Like, for 38 years, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't even get into the pool that would supposedly heal him. From death to life. Go to Romans chapter 3. Verse 23. Many of us know this verse, verse 23. For everyone has sinned. For all have sinned. And yet we fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life by shedding his blood. They pass from death to life. Death to life. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 31. Jesus had risen from the dead by this point in the book of John. And John writes, but these things, all about the life of Jesus, are written so that you will continue to believe. Continue to believe. We've got to continue on to believe that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Continue to have life. Continue to believe and have life. Now, there's two implications here. two implications of life with Jesus. What does that mean for us on earth, in Rosenort, or wherever you live? What does that mean? Number one, our faithfulness to follow and never give up. We talk about Jesus never giving up on us, and most of it, a lot of our worship songs are about Him not giving up on us. God will never give up. He won't. I was bugging Cody when he was singing that when he came in. I go, is it true? Do you believe it? He won't fail. He won't fail us. But here's the question. Would we ever give up on Him? Do I love Jesus enough to never give up on Him? We have life in Jesus, and we have life with Jesus. But like the famous song many years ago, this life is not a rose garden. I never promised you a rose garden. God never promised us a rose garden. Not an easy life sometimes. It seems so tough sometimes. And all of us, I think, can tell each other stories of when it's been incredibly tough. Life is hard. It seems so tough sometimes. Ask anyone who is currently or has been in a deep difficulty. Most of us can think back recently or years ago when you went through the toughest time. I can. Would we give up on Him? But what would be the alternative? What would be the alternative? So we follow God, we believe in Jesus, and we walk with Jesus. We could give up on Him, but what would be the alternative then? If we gave up on Him, what would that be? Regularly during the week, I get an email from the Voice of the Martyrs, Persecuted Church, and I talk about the persecuted church a lot here. And I think we need to keep it in the front of our minds. But I think about the persecuted church. So I think of two individuals that I read about, where as part of their torture, part of their punishment, is they are placed in one of these metal sea cans, these metal, what's the other word for them? Sea cans, containers, shipping containers. And we're talking countries that are really hot, really hot, like last week at camp. And these people are placed in there, left all alone. And they're trying, these authorities in these countries are trying to convince them to give up on their faith. Give up on your faith. Recant your faith. And I think about that and I'm going, this is interesting. No one has come to any of us or to these Christians in these persecuted countries and force them to become a Christian. Nobody has. They choose to become a Christian. And now they're in these sea camps or they're being tortured and all those kinds of things in these different stories that I read, real life situations. They choose to follow Jesus. And they choose to continue to follow Jesus when it would have been just as easy to say, fine, I recant. I'm not going to follow Jesus because this torture is. And I'm sure some of them have, and I can't blame anybody. And then I look at myself. Man, what would it take? Would there be a point in my life when I actually give up on Jesus? My only answer is I hope not. why did we believe in Jesus in the first place? Why do we continue to commit and recommit and reaffirm our belief in Him? We must do what we can to deepen our lives so that we won't give up. And we don't do devotions and other practices and coming to church just to be good Christians. That's not what we do. We do them to deepen our relationship with Jesus. That's what we do. That's why we do it. This isn't about guilt. This is about growing our relationship. This is about growing deeper so that we won't give up. The second implication is, two implications of life with Jesus are faithfulness to follow and never give up, and our faithful living invites other people to His life. The mission of our church is to invite people to eternal life. The purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ is to invite others to listen and to hear the message and believe in God. Does our life then draw others? Does it invite conversations? Are we witnesses? Are people actually looking at us, and I'd like to have a conversation with you? And all I'm saying in this is, how do we draw people to Jesus? In the last month, Judy and I have met two couples that are brand new to Rosenbrook. I just met a couple that just moved here from Saskatchewan. 2 weeks ago, I met them at the park. They were just lounging there. They were the two people that I was talking to as Christina, and you were walking by the park there. There were two people there. Just moved to Rosenberg. Why Rosenberg? Interesting. People are coming to town. All we have to do is pray and be friendly and establish a relationship. That's why I love driving bus. I was at the Bombers game on Thursday night. I only found out the next morning they won 28-0. I really don't care about football. Go Bombers, go. But I had a conversation with a coworker for over half an hour. He knows I'm a pastor. He knows I'm a Christian. I had a conversation with him a while ago and said, well, can I pray for you? He goes, no. No, I'm not comfortable with that. Me and God aren't really talking to each other. Okay, fine. I'll pray for you on my own. He goes, go ahead. Then we're sitting and having a conversation there outside the stadium where all the buses are lined up. And halfway through the conversation, he's bringing up God. I didn't have to bring him up. This isn't in my notes. Can I encourage us to don't get stressed out about evangelism? You don't have to know the right things to say or how to start a conversation with somebody. As you pray for them once in a while, as you be friendly, all of a sudden they'll just start talking to you. I didn't have to have the key question. So have you thought any more about God since we talked last? No. I didn't have to bring that up. He brought it up. Great conversation. Did I lead him to the Lord? No. Maybe next time. That's okay. He's my friend. And we'll talk. Our faithfulness to follow and never give up, and our faithful living invites people to His life. Jesus said, I am the life. If you have His life, you're grateful, grow in it, and then as we try to encourage others towards that life. So application and reflection. Cody, you want to come on up? Three things that we can do. At the beginning of our time together, I said, get out into nature 3 times this week. Back deck, front deck, maybe you're going camping. Get out there and take your Bible with you. And sit there. quietly in nature. Maybe memorize John chapter 5, verse 24, we talked about this morning. Because you already got John chapter 14, verse 6 already memorized, right? And then who is one person you know that doesn't have life in Jesus? Put that person in mind. A neighbor, a co-worker, somebody you've met. Just put it in your mind and just begin to pray for them. And watch how God may bring them into your life again. And you can just begin a friendship and a relationship. And eventually, Lord willing, you bring them to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for life. Thank you that you love us. You've saved us. And yes, one day we'll be with you in heaven as we continue to listen and obey and believe. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.